Welcome to episode 199 of Fourth and John. We are happy campers in the building. We're welcoming Devonta Smith into the nest. First off the bat, we just got to be proud of selecting a guy that we had high on our list, man. We narrowed it down to four, and for this podcast, it was pretty much Horn or Smith. For me, I had Smith higher than Horn. So just to get the guy that we targeted, that's, for me, that's a W, and it feels like a Christmas gift. Obviously, we all had first reactions. We shared that on the Fourth and John page about when we got the pick. Still excited. Next day, I still feel like we partied last night mentally.
Yes.
First reactions, how you guys feeling?
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
You had him. I'm feeling great, man. I'm over the moon today. I woke up with an extra pep in my step. I was just like thinking about how I really think that this could potentially be the greatest wide receiver that the Eagles have drafted in my lifetime. I think he's got the highest ceiling of I think he's potentially got a higher ceiling than Macklin, Sean Jackson, all these guys. Dude, Devonta Smith, the Slim Reaper, is here. He's a Philadelphia Eagle. I'm so excited for it. And I'm confused on top of that, too, because like the whole thinking back now, and now that we have the hindsight of what Miami did, they moved all the way up to six for Waddle. I thought that maybe he could have slipped a little bit more, but that's all fine with me. We got Devonta at 10, man. That's huge.
I'm just as excited the fact that we ended up getting our guy. We talked about it for the longest. Just being in the link last night definitely brought the energy. The fact that we were just all there, kind of like with the first 8 to 9 picks, we were biting our nails because, I mean, it didn't look good. We weren't sure which way it was going to go. And then here comes Dallas. It's their turn to go ahead and pick. And with the surprise of the Eagles showing up on that board and them stating that we ended up trading, I'm still kind of like mind-boggled about that. You know, of course, I called my brother up this morning, and he wants me to go ahead and thank him. okay. Yeah, I mean, we worked together to go ahead and piss off the Giants. I mean, this is what we do. But, yeah, just seeing some of the reactions of the Giants fans and how upset they were. I think I'm more thrilled about that.
Yeah, you should be prime, because you were one of the people I remember right when it happened. That was the biggest thing for you, you know, the Cowboys and the Giants right in front of us, and that I think killed all of us as Eagles fans to know that we were at the mercy of those teams. To see the Eagles pull off a move with the Cowboys, to look at it as a whole, you know, you talk about Jalen Waddle. I mentioned on the show last night, I thought he would go before Devonta. I think that's good for us, right? So he did, and we moved back four spots, gave up, what, 84 and 156 all in all, and we got a first-rounder next year, moved up 33 spots this year, and, oh, yeah, we just drafted, what's his, Devonta Smith. Yes, 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 yes. I'm very excited today. Obviously, we had him higher on our board. Got to write that beautiful article in January about him. Then Gail and Chris made that awesome breakdown video of him. We're very high on Devonta Smith for very good reason. So I agree with Evan. This could be, for some of these younger guys, one of the greatest receivers they've seen, and maybe all of us. I mean, this guy could go down as one of the top. We talked about how he wins one-on-ones, his hands, his footwork, his hips. Everything you see from this kid is phenomenal. Oh, well, he's 166. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Watch the tape. The kid's phenomenal. Everything they said in that presser a week ago, they were talking about this kid. He's going to go out and ball. It's going to make Rager better. It's going to make Fulgham better. Goddard. Maybe Ertz will be here. I don't know. Miles Sanders. Everybody looking forward to this offense. Hopefully they stay healthy. I'm pumped.
Yeah, man, you got to give credit where it's due. That's why I had to rock the shirt today. This is how we do it. And just manifest some positive energy, because the second round is going to be loaded. But the reason why I applaud Howie is not for just getting Devonta Smith. That was the clear-cut guy that you wanted to get. He maneuvered the sixth pick into getting Devonta Smith and a first next year. And the big thing is that he somehow negotiated with Jerry Jones to jump the Giants, and the Giants were so flustered with the pick that they moved all the way back. Like, they didn't even consider taking Justin Fields. And Gail and I were talking about this before the stream started, saying that would have been the smart move for them. I know that Gail, I agree with him saying that, like, it would have been an ego thing for the Giants and Gettleman, but Fields would have been the smart pick. He kind of would have been like hedging their bet, like Arizona did with Kyler Murray after they got Rosen. And I would have been like saying, like, that would have been a great pick for the Giants if they took Fields, if he fell to them at 12. But hey, man, I'm really excited about Devonta Smith. We were rolling clips of him before the draft started, saying, like, imagine him doing the plays that he has done for years at Alabama, a freshman that's scoring in the national championship game, doing that at the link. Like, that's the type of energy, and he's the type of guy that you want. He has that Kobe Bryant Mamba mentality. He's a very unassuming guy, but he's a hard worker, and Philadelphia is going to embrace him. And hopefully my guy JOK, all of our guy JOK, he falls to 37, or we move up and get him. Because if you start the draft off with Devonta Smith, then JOK, that's two premier blue chip starters and two guys that are going to cause a lot of noise for the Philadelphia Eagles fan base.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, just getting Devonta Smith in the building, you're talking about that Devonta mentality, just his ability to lead, two-time captain, one of five Alabama players underneath Nick Saban to earn that recognition. You think about, just, we talked about him being unassuming. He's a guy, a lunch pail kind of dude that just shows up day in and day out, 100 catches after practice, never misses a day. He's not a complainer. He's a doer, and
super
production. That's what we're going to get, production right off the bat.
And super intelligent as well. He's one of the smartest route runners. I mean, he's one of the smartest wide receivers that's available. He's a absolute technician when it comes to route running. And like, when I just think about the recent struggles we've had as an Eagles team and just wide receivers not being on the same page as the quarterback, that is not going to be Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith is he lives and breathes by this game, man. And I really think that he is going to dedicate himself to being the best wide receiver on the team, hands down, and potentially the best wide receiver in the NFC East, I'm thinking.
Hey, I mean, it's, hey, man, like, it's like, you know, you think about Rager, you think about Greg Ward, you think about Fulgham. This guy's just a different breed. I'm not taking anything away from the guys that we have here, but I'm just saying, in terms of overall, like, skill set, like, you can look at Fulgham as your big body target. You can look at Greg Ward as the reliable, you know, he'll make the catch from the slot, come up with some, you know, move the change. You think about Rager taking the top off of defense, taking jet sweep to the house. Devonta can do all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, we got a guy. But I know everybody's in the chat right now talking about their guys in the second round. Day two, we got two targets tonight. Last night, we just got one gift. We're going to get two gifts tonight. So, I mean, the consensus, Chris mentioned it. People in the chat are mentioning it. Evan, his face is just glowing of JOK.
Oh, yeah.
How are we collectively targeting JOK in our minds right now, or
I'm not targeting him in the first round, so I definitely want him in the second round.
Yeah, exactly. I'm exactly with Jimmy, and honestly, like, I'm not so sure, considering that we gave up the 84th pick last night, I'm not sure if I'm willing to trade up at this point to get him, because I think there is going to be guys there at 37 that are totally going to be worth taking. But if JOK were to fall to 37, that I don't see how you pass up on him. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
No,
I was thinking you might have to move up to get him. I think he could be like the first or second. I mean, this is just such a talented kid. And somebody asked me, why did he fall? And I was like, I honestly don't know why a lot of these guys fall. But different scouts have different ideas than us. But that does, you know, we'll see. We'll find out. But I think this kid's going to be super talented. So yeah. I'm excited just the thought of getting someone like him. I will literally start chipping away at whatever we got, a wood statue, marble. I will build Howie a statue if he gets JOK today.
Shout out to Pete Nathan in the chat. He says he's going to stick up to his bet from last night. If Warren has a better season than PS2, he will buy me a jersey.
So how are you guys going to determine that? Is who has more interceptions? Who gives up more yards?
I got a better idea. We play both the teams. We play Denver and we play Carolina this year. I say you go whoever has the better game against us. I think that's a good bet. We play both cornerbacks this year because of the way the draft fell.
No pressure.
Yeah, they go up against Devontae.
We're all winners here.
But yeah, with JOK though, people are just like wondering, like, why is this guy falling? And it's because he's a jack of all trades, and like some teams, they don't have the coaching or the infrastructure or scheme to house him. Kind of, it's kind of like people saw Isaiah Simmons last year, and then the Cardinals got him and kind of didn't know what to do with him. And he came on late in the year, but it was one of those things. Like, if your staff and personnel aren't good for a player, then that's why teams are learning to pass up on him. But the Eagles, you can't pass up on him because we have so many holes. And not only that, I think he would be, if not the best, he'd be one of the best defensive players on our team day one automatically. Like, him and Fletcher Cox would probably be like two of the better defensive players on our team. And he's a key contributor. We talked about it all offseason, and especially yesterday, saying when you got guys like Travis Kelce, Kyle Pitts, like all these guys that we're going to be going against this year and beyond, you need someone that has the capabilities to cover them. And that's what JOK is. He can cover tight ends. He was the best slot coverage linebacker, him and Jabril Cox were. And then he is an insane run stopper. He can run with running backs. He can run with the tight ends. And the thing with him is he's a mental fit in Philly. He talked about it heavily for 2 minutes in a press conference, saying like, I'm like mentally, I'm way above all these guys in the class, and I know that I can handle Philadelphia. And Daniel Jeremiah had him as the 15th overall prospect. The fact that he's falling to the second round, you don't look at that as any red flags. It's just you got lucky, and he's going to fall right to you. It would be a perfect pick for us. I mean, I think cornerback is more of a priority, but you can't pass up on JOK because he can do everything. He can cover the tight ends, and he can stop the run. Mm-hmm.
So having to redeem myself after last night, and because there was so much focus on how tired I was, I woke up this
coffee.
Yeah, I woke up this morning and I honestly started watching some videos on JOK. I know you guys mentioned him, and I'm gonna be honest with you, I wasn't on as hyped as you guys were, but after seeing some of the videos and pinpointing what Chris just mentioned, how he defends tight ends, how he runs those running backs down, how he stands his ground, watching whatever the quarterback decides to go ahead and do, I gotta say, I'm with it. Asante Samuel Jr. is one that I'm out there to go ahead and grab in the second round. But if JOK is one of those guys that is there and we definitely have the opportunity to grab it, I'm all in, man. I mean, again, going back to what Evan has mentioned in the past few weeks, we haven't put enough attention on these linebackers. This year's the time. Right now is the opportunity. Let's go ahead and do it. And I'm all with trading up to 33. I'm just saying. I know not everybody agrees with that, but if JOK is the truth, let's do it, man. I'm count me in with that one.
Do you guys, so like with the loss of the 84th pick last night, do you think that like a Zach Ertz and a 6th round pick packaged together gets us back into the third?
I think that's enough. And any pick could move us anywhere. You know what I mean? We've been talking about that. Why not? I mean, definitely keep that in mind. Maybe a couple 6th and Ertz gets you a 4th. I don't know.
It's a lot of picks.
And picks next year. So
I would just do Ertz in 37 for 33. Because Jacksonville really needs a tight end. And then right there.
Ablin like, a 6th, man, and it's over.
Don't even worry about the compensation. Just getting the money off and the fact that like, No one here thinks that Zach Ertz is going to be here. We love him, but that's just the word that him and Howie have like a really bad relationship, and that it's going to come. So if you can move from 37 to 33, get the guy you want, and you can shed, I think it's $8 million, if I'm correct. That's how much Zach Ertz is shedding once he leaves. Like, that's big, because if you know you're going to move on for a guy, you can get cap relief, and you get the guy that you want at 33. 100% down for it.
Totally.
I got a list here. I did a little color coding myself last night. Checking out, Dame Ruger puts out a lot of great content. But looking at his rankings, I started to look at some of the players that went last night and then color coded for targets that could be potentially there. You look at JOK, where he was on his board, 14. Lord.
15th, yeah.
Where is Kelvin Joseph on this? That's what I wanted to talk about. I like Asante, but I think Kelvin Joseph, if we don't get JOK, that's a nice corner right there.
He's a 52. I mean, if you have sat in a room with him and you figure out the character issues and you can outweigh his talent over that, I mean, Kelvin Joseph was a potential first round pick minus the character issues. Like he's amazing.
I hit up our boy Braxton Howard, who covered Kentucky for a while, works at PFF now. He said I'm all in on Kelvin Joseph. Fatu Melifonwu, if you're looking for that big corner right there. But if you're going back to this over here, look, Richie Grant's there. I said last night, but if we actually move back, I would feel okay getting Richie Grant a little bit later, but I don't think that's the move here.
You guys think that this pick has to be defense, right?
It has to be.
It's Asante Samuel Jr. I mean, like, again, shout out to Luke in the chat. He was Morik, you know, you're talking about safety, man. Like, that's to me, that's still a sneaky pick right here. You know, Kayvon Wallace doesn't mean he's got the job locked up. Anthony Harris on 1 year, McLeod's on the last year, coming off an ACL. That's a sneaky need. And then the other guy that we've all been talking about, Terrace Marshall Jr. Obviously, we had some concerns that he might get drafted by the Ravens. They went Rashad Bateman, but there's been injury concerns with the foot injury with Terrace Marshall. Mm-hmm. And he missed some games with a foot surgery in 2019. So is that a real thing? I mean, there's some guys to be had here, man. That's
for sure.
The amazing part about it. There's a lot of talent here. I mean, look, you're looking from all the way to our next pick at 70. I mean, who on that list right here excites you?
Javon Holland. Mm-hmm. If we don't end up grabbing a Richie Grant.
Yeah, we talked about Holland and Morig yesterday, and I would be ecstatic with either of those two.
Aaron Robinson as well, man.
Boogie bash him. Boogie bash him. Shout out to Adam Michael Gibbs.
Ojalari's out there too.
Ojalari, It's just and stacked at every position. I mean, Tyson Edge, Campbell. There's like three guys. Like corner, there's three guys. It's funny because I had Boogie Basham going to us at 37 in my mock draft, just because, like, not because of need exactly, but it's just such a Philly pick, honestly. Like, that's someone that they would definitely look at. I mean, overall, though, like, I wish we had, like, multiple picks in the second with all these people. Like, I'd even consider packaging up a little bit with all the picks we have left, because there's like 18 guys that could go in the second that are all, like, first round value. That's how good they are. It's just that deep in the class.
So here's a question for you guys. What other scenario do you see Ertz getting traded? Because if we don't do the 37 and Ertz for 33, where else do you see Ertz maybe getting traded at?
Anywhere.
Yeah. So that's what I was saying about, like, when I brought up Ertz and like a sixth round pick or Ertz and a fifth, whatever. I think that can move you up. If you give up those two things, package them together, that could, I feel like, get you back in the third.
Let me further explain it. I don't mean just anywhere. I mean, like, you could literally use him. You're probably looking to get rid of him because you want to get some value. As we've all said, we don't see him back here because he wants more money. We're not giving him more money. Right now, you save about 4.8 mil in cap space if you get rid of him. But the only reason I could see him staying is if you wait past June 2nd, then it actually flips the cap and the dead cap. Then you're saving like over 8 mil in cap space, and then you only have about 4 in dead. That's the only way I'd get it. But right now, I think they're on the phone every round wondering if Zach Ertz could be packaged in, because you're getting a better draft pick, yes, but you're also getting rid of this burden you have right now.
I mean, they're literally got Ertz on the street corner. They're trying to pimp this trade.
we got 3-6 to move, too.
Pimp my Ertz.
So based off of that trade last night with Dallas, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I thought he was part of that trade, and I could not see Julie, not Ertz. I could not see Julie showing love to the Dallas Cowboys. It was just like, oh,
it doesn't work in your fantasies in your mind.
No, not at all.
And then his favorite player was Jason Witten back in the day. That would have been weird. Hey, but it still could happen. I mean, I'm saying. Shout out to Chris in the chat, he had a good time. I mean, he had a really good time last night. He talked about banana routes with Coach Nick Sirianni. Yeah. Glad that Chris had that experience. That's awesome. And he's saying JOK over Parsons. Obviously, I think everyone's from a standpoint of shakiness in the locker room. Everyone's got JOK way higher on their list.
Did anyone happen to hear Brian Westbrook's comment earlier talking about Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, three first rounders and whatever. He's such a troll.
Yeah.
Rachel said same. Julie said no go.
Yeah.
I mean, this other thing about Asante Samuel, people will talk about his size. He'll tell you that he's played at the size his career. He's played on the outside at the size. He says he's the same size as Jair Alexander. He gives you that inside, outside flexibility. You think about Avante Maddox when you come to mind. Like, just because we have some of these guys in the mix already doesn't mean that they're the future. So if you feel like Avante can give you, I mean, you feel like Asante, wouldn't that be funny if you upgraded from Avante to Asante and we have a new Lil Tay-Tay?
And someone tried to call him Ashanti earlier. They were talking about him, so I put a picture of Ashanti.
Ashanti.
Yeah, I was like, all right, I guess we'll get like, her.
Hey, and if he has the ball skills like his father, he's stunting like his daddy. He's a better tackler than his father.
Yes.
Can we all agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's the one thing I love.
The bar that high, but yeah.
Absolutely. Because
there were knocks on Ashanti, too. So, I mean, like, when he was coming out. So, it's like, the kid was phenomenal throughout his career. It's like, I think his son's going to do the same. I just, once again, I don't know if we have to go there. I'm not one of those people, same with Devontae Smith, like, oh, he's going to fail and he can only play inside. I don't feel that way at all. I think it's just about going to the right system. And, you know, Jonathan Gannon might, we talked about being the right system for some of these corners. I think he would fit in here, but that's just not my pick because I'm so in love with JOK and Nick Bolton and Javonte Williams. There's so many names. We might trade back here and I would maybe be okay with it depending on where we go.
Shout out to Luke. He says, how about interior offensive lineman Landon Dickerson? We all know that he has a history of injuries. Creed Humphrey, another player who has familiarity with Jalen Hurts, one of his former offensive linemen, possibly a Kelce replacement. And this is a real thing that we've been talking about. We have the 30-30 club from center, 33 Kelce, 31 Brandon Brooks, and 30 Lane Johnson. I'm not going to say being older than that. When you say 30 in the NFL, you're pretty much getting up there. Well, not in quarterback years, but I feel like, I mean, we got Tom Brady at 59 playing quarterback. So obviously, but in O-line terms, we've saw guys breaking down. These are facts.
We have. I just think that, like, I really think that the Eagles are gearing to let Isaac Seumalo take over that position. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up taking a guy, but my real thought process is that they plan on moving forward with Isaac Seumalo being that the center moving forward. I could see them drafting a guard, maybe a tackle, but I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm feeling a center today.
Maybe a Drake Jackson later?
Yeah. Or Drake Jackson later.
That's somebody Gail's mentioned so many times, but he's made me feel comfortable that we don't have to go here. I threw out a top 10 offense defense earlier today, guys I like, and those two were mentioned. Definitely, you know, a thought, but
Quinn Meinerz as well.
Yeah, exactly. There's guys later, a couple rounds where I feel right now, the names we've all mentioned, like there's a lot of talent that can make us a lot better right now. And with the depth we do have, sure, Gail said it, they're getting older, the 30-30 club, but I really like Jack Driscoll. I really like Nate Herbig and whoever wins between Mailata and Dillard. Obviously, the other guy's depth, but I'm not sure where they'd go with center. Seumalo, I thought he would move there last year when Kelce was gone. They had Uriga move in there. That was weird. They didn't have Herbig go, so it's a question mark. So I like what Evan said about maybe a guy that's versatile, can play guard at first, maybe move in center. You know, we talked about Kendrick Green. That's somebody maybe you could find in a later round. So a lot of names out there, and definitely something I would consider. But just not right now.
Sadarius Hutchinson from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. A lot of starts in the SEC. Yeah.
Tevin Jenkins is still out there, man.
Yep. Oh, Chase Barron, too.
It's weird, man. There's so much talent on the board. I just saw a comment from Chris. He says John Richie killed Parsons today. Basically said he was a nightmare at camp. Richie coached that. I know Chris mentioned that. He said it on the radio, right?
He's a nightmare.
Yeah, he said that earlier in the week. He said that like because of like conversations and just experiences with him, he's like he would never touch him. And like that, this is not the first time I've heard it. I mean, I know people that went to Penn State with him, and they said like they've seen him out at places, and they said he's just like he's brutal.
They don't want him to touch them.
Either. I mean,
exactly.
You saw him and Zeke's first interaction on Twitter right after the draft. It was pretty weird.
I almost posted something, but I'm like, that's not really funny. Like sexual assault's not funny. But I almost posted a picture of when Zeke and Dak were shopping, and I was like, I wonder if they're picking this present up for his first gift.
I'm
like, maybe just stray away.
I mean, is
the one that doesn't stay still?
Yeah, yeah.
So. I mean, as Eagle fans, we have to like shit on.
I'm going to. Yeah, yeah.
We have to.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you guys think of the Giants? Prime's
brother.
Hey, listen, I was big on Kadarius Toney. Not going to lie, even though they did grab him. I was just surprised that some of these Giants fans weren't even happy with that pick. You didn't get Devontae Smith, but I mean, damn, a Kadarius Toney is not bad. That was a pretty pretty solid pick, but I was just thrown off on the
young Joker. Young Joker. Anyway, if you want to have a laugh at, I guess, but this is what we do. We have to make fun of everyone else's picks. Their receiver is also known as Young Joka. Check out his YouTube channel. I'm just trying to get him some hits. Maybe we could be his agent. But if you like that kind of rap, hey, have at it. Young Joka.
Draft recrap.
But the interesting thing about that, right? You think about the cornerback out of Georgia that they drafted in the first round. We had some little red flags. You know, Kadarius, you know, he had those. He did get pulled over with some loaded AR-15s.
He was like, in Florida. That's like a regular Tuesday in Florida, I'm pretty sure.
Florida starter pack.
I think he fits the scene just well. If he wants to make another video, I mean, they could always go back on that boat, you know, that they did.
With the Tims and everything.
Boat.
Yeah, exactly. You could go ahead and make that video and then just, you know, mess the whole season up for yourself.
That's going to be, let's be real here, though, guys. That's going to be a nasty offense. If that offensive line can stay healthy, whatever they're doing there, we'll see the rest of this draft. But Galladay was added. Already had some receivers. You add Joka, I guess. I didn't want to call him Toney. And you have Saquon coming back. So I know their quarterback is iffy, but he was progressing, so it's going to be intriguing. I thought they did okay. The Giants fan trade back, you know, every year. It has to be driving them insane.
Oh, hey, I just want to give a shout-out to the people in the chat for supporting yesterday. You guys were with us for about 6 hours, dude. You're psychos like we are when it comes to the draft. We will be going live again in, like, 3.5 hours. So I'll give you guys a little break. You guys get some food.
Yes, sir.
Prime, get a cot in the pillow. Maybe
already on it.
You know, this guy's eyes were barely open, probably at the very end. But no, I feel like this is going to be a great day, man.
For sure.
I know.
I'm a little proud of myself with all the multitasking that I did at the link yesterday. You know,
you did do a good job, man.
I was holding an iPad.
That rest was awesome. You made
that
it
rest
on
was well deserved. You were making some kids' days and everything.
I was making
some
kids' days.
Reporting live on the scene.
Oh yeah, I mean, Prime made
NBC
made television.
NBC 10. You know, maybe you guys didn't see it yet. Go check it out. It's, you know,
I was a
Twitter.
Nice surprise to wake up to seeing Prime. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is gonna be a good day. Just like I woke up yesterday feeling positive. I'm gonna again feel positive to answer that question. I really think he could go in the third, but for some reason I see him slipping in the fourth. The way this offensive lines are looking,
I think we have to do we have to give credit where it's due today. I think it's important that, you know, we let Howie know when he's doing wrong, but we also have to let Howie know when he's doing right. And I think, you know, Howie right now, he's waiting. He's waiting for our comments. He's looking at us like, go ahead, say it.
Yeah.
Say it, because we have to give him credit. We talk about, you know, if he knew the board was going to fall like it was, if that whole Trey Lance triggered some things and they didn't and Wilson going up higher, and then you know, knowing that Kyle Pitts was going to Atlanta, and then you go back to let's see, Jamar Chase going to Cincinnati, and then having a feel for let's see, Waddle going at six. The talent was there to that fell. And not only did we go back to 12 and we got a guy that we really liked as a group here, but we got a first round, bruh, and a fourth round pick. Traded one of the thirds.
We only gave up 84 and 156, Gale. Moved back four spot.
That's good. That's good money.
Next year's class is loaded. And we have potentially three firsts. Like, if you get Devonta Smith and Kyle Hamilton from Notre Dame, like, out of trading back, crazy.
Strap in today, folks. It's going to be a wild ride.
And I'm going to be honest with you, like, as close as, you know, I follow the draft and have a feel for, like, when you get the picks, I haven't felt this good since this pick.
Yep.
And we moved up, and I said previously, I move up to get Fletcher Cox, and I felt so incredibly like confident that he was going to be that dude. I do feel the same way about Devonta.
That's an awesome feeling to have, man.
And that's why today I'm like, yo, as much as it's tired and I feel like called out of work today, it's
You're sick right now, right?
That's not a lie, man. I'm sick of work. Yeah, you know, that is not a lie. When you say I'm sick,
load management.
You're just not finishing the load management.
I do have allergies. I haven't been outside in probably I'd say 4 days.
Oh, damn.
4 days.
You're starting to look like me.
Yeah.
Some sun.
I am getting a little light. Yo, someone said it was like 86 degrees out yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It's
pretty nice out today, to be honest with you.
But that's when it kicks in, man. My allergies kick in when it gets to that first day when it gets super hot.
Whenever the seasons change, that's when it kicks my ass.
Get my ass kicked.
Seasons change, I'm dead.
Yep. Shout out to Tim from AZ. He was hyped last night. He said, "Howie, don't fact this up, bruh." And he didn't. He didn't. And how does this make you feel? Instant reaction. One word answer. Chris.
Finally. They finally got.
That's the more than one. That's more than one word.
Electric. Electric. Okay. Evan. Relieved.
Full throttle. I was compound word in that.
Prime.
Hyped.
Jimmy.
I was going to be inappropriate, but I'm not. Exciting. We'll just say that. I'm very excited, dude. This is going to be awesome.
I'm going to go Bama connection. Because I think that connection is real right there.
I think that's two words.
That is two words, man. Come on.
Not putting the graphic together and just seeing those two play together.
I'll say priceless. How about that?
Chris, right. Now you could go ahead and say three words.
Champions. Champions. How about that word? Yes. Champions.
Dynamic duo. Marxist. Finally. It's all right, man. Any last words before we get at her? We'll go start with Chris.
All right, let's see what happens, boys. I mean, not only is Jay okay there, there's like 10 guys I'd be cool with at 37 right now. You got Morig, you got Ojulari, Basham. But let's see if we can just secure a guy, offload Ertz, move up to 33 because Jacksonville desperately needs a tight end, take care of business. Two blue chip guys back-to-back. It's going to be a big night. Let's see what happens. A lot of action, a lot of picks to move up, move back. But great energy heading into the room. Thank you, everyone in the chat, for tuning in at 2 p.m. on a Friday. We'll see you in about 3.5 hours, though.
Yes, sir.
Evan.
I just want to say to all the ladies of Philadelphia, go watch your favorite Zach Ertz videos now. Watch him while he's still on the team, because sorry that your boy is going to be packing his bags later today. I really do feel like that's what's going to be happening. I've kind of been on this boat for quite a while now. Multiple years. I would say thank you to Zach Ertz for everything that you've done, and I'll see you in the next one.
Prime.
Three quick things. Julie, I'm gonna miss you. All right. Devonta, everybody's questioning the weight. I was one to go ahead and question it too. Let's go back to, you know, D-Jack. He came in here. He killed it. I'm not going to go ahead and doubt the kid. But if you need to gain some weight, holler at your boy. Holler at us. You know what I mean? We'll take you around the city. We'll throw some 20 more pounds on you. We'll get things right. And the third thing is really looking forward to tonight, man. Just the moves. Just in general. I'm confident with the pick last night. I'm confident going into tonight. I think Howie's got, you know, the stars lined up the right way. Let's go, man. I'm excited.
Jimmy.
I'm very excited. To anyone feeling that way about, you know, his size and still, you know, just not, oh, what a dumb pick. I promise you. Go back to the article I wrote in January. I wanted him at 6, okay? At 6, I thought this Heisman Trophy winner would be a good pick. When we just talked about all of that we gained and got him, this was awesome. Please go back, watch Gale and Chris break down film and actually tell you why this kid can do the things he can at his size and how much it doesn't matter. Please, I beg of you, go check that stuff out. We've been putting in the work. So I just want to say thank you to all you guys that do check that stuff out, because my God, I don't even know what sleep is anymore. And I live for this stuff. So thanks for tuning in. Like they just said, 2 o'clock on a Friday. We're going to be back in a few hours. We're going to be putting it in all weekend. So thank you so much to everyone. Let's strap in. Hope Howie keeps making some good picks. Maybe we get a JOK. Maybe, I don't know, but I'm going to stay positive, hopeful for this team, looking toward a bright future. And Nick Sirianni, man, throwing football with people. Come on, guys. Let's start loving this coach, man. And let's feel the positivity. Go Birds. Man,
be positive. Be positive. We talk about the weight being an issue, being a smaller wide receiver, being a smaller football player my whole life. They wouldn't let me play because I was so light that I wanted to play with the bigger boys. So I said, they said, look, you gotta, you're too light. So they strapped on weights. I had coins in my jock strap so I could make weight. So I get the struggle, man. They say you can't play because you're so light. If you can ball, you can ball. And this dude, there's no issues on tape, man. No issues on tape with the guy. We got the guy. I'm telling you, we got the guy.
Yo, ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yeah. And on that note, we'll see you in a couple hours. Day 2 is upon us. And we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.